Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Imagine a world where bullying isn't considered a normal part of childhood.
A world where I'm not afraid to go to school.
To speak out.
To be myself.
A world where I'm not afraid to be caught alone.
Come on, punk.
We have the power to stop the bullying. Speak out.
Speak up.
Educate.
Find out what to look for and how you can make a difference at bullying.org.
Bullying is not kids being kids.
It's not about good homes or bad homes.
It's not a normal part of growing up.
I shouldn't be afraid to get out of school bus.
To turn on my computer.
Message. A lock to my locker.
Did you know that a bully will stop his or her behavior in 10 seconds when their peers speak up?
Use your voice.
Hey, leave him alone.
We have the power to stop bullying.
Find out more at bullying.org.
Bullying.org.
Where you're not alone.
Where you're not alone.
Where you're not alone.
Hello there. My name is Michelle Brown Stafford, child prodigy mom and parental involvement activist, urging parents to get involved in their children's education. At the age of 13, our son, Stephen Stafford, became the youngest ever to enroll as a full-time regular student in Morehouse College's 150-year history. This occurred only after well-meaning educators failed to identify our son's gifts in the classroom. Knowing who our son was, my husband and I got involved and prevented Stephen from falling through the educational cracks. So parents, get involved. Stay involved. Your child's potential is definitely worth it.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life. Life Conversations. Committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage. Make that move.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community, 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 to the
community. I am in the dark. Every
I am in the darkness.
Somebody's holding their breath. Well, it's okay. You can relax.
I am in the light. I am dwelling in believers. I am dwelling in those who don't know. Everywhere I am. Yes, indeed. The power and presence called God, called life, called source, called divine intelligence, called nothing, but is everything, is everywhere, evenly present. And we want to support you today to go to that place, that dark place that you've been running from, that you've been affirming from, that you've been praying from. You're praying to just let it go. I wish I'm not like that. Well, guess what? Wherever you are, God is, because there is no spot where God is not. There is no spot where good is not. No matter what is going on in your life, it's all God. It's all good. Ricky Byers Beckwith, everywhere I am, everywhere you are. I love that title, Everywhere I Am. You know, you can relax. You can take a breath and breathe in and embrace your dragon. But when you embrace the dragon, wow, guess what? You see this beautiful dragonfly, and you're flying with it. Well, we're going to talk more about that. That's what today's show is about. We want to dance with the dragon. What do you mean the dragon? What are you talking about, dragon? Well, it's okay. Calm down. What I meant to say, what I'm also saying is the art of loving your unlovable self. The part of you that's just like, you wish you could shake off. Anyway, Ricky Byers Beckwith, Everywhere I Am, and you can find out about her and all the great work she's doing by going to her website, weletitbe.com, weletitbe.com. Yeah, let's take a breath and breathe out. Shake it off, shake off, shake it off, shake it off, shake it off. And realign your energy from the inside. Give yourself an internal massage. Just breathe in and breathe out. Yes, welcome. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you for tuning into Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you make a difference. It's that simple. You make a difference because you exist. You do. You really do make a difference. You make a difference because you're alive. You make a difference because you're listening to this show. You are the place where God gets to recognize himself, herself, itself. Where God says, oh, there needs some more love on the planet. Let me give birth to myself through whoever you are. Through Life Coach Irene, through Sherry Richards, and then through people saying yes to their gifts and talents, the difference that we make in a lot. This planet is never the same because we're making a difference. You get to decide how you're going to make a difference. And you and the ones that have the power to call your difference positive and negative. And that doesn't mean right or wrong, because in a car battery, it needs both. It needs the positive and the negative. But yeah, we're going to break all of this down. I'm already in the energy. But I just thought I could just tell you that you make a difference, even if you don't believe it. If you're struggling with it, you make a difference. Did I tell you you make a difference? You make a difference. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Show. I am your host, Life Coach Ade, on liveconversationsradio.com. Don't leave that out. So when you spread the word, because I know you're doing it, but you keep telling people, because it's all about repetition. Tell them, hey, did you listen today? You need to listen to that show. Call people right now. Text them, put it on Facebook or all the other social networks, Twitter, yell it, scream it. I don't care what you do. Tell them, listen, you need to listen to this. Because I'm tired of your foolishness. You need to learn to love your unlovable self. Okay. I'm going to love myself that said that. Well, we do feel that about people sometimes. And we just, can't take it. But then when we don't judge other people being foolish, then we become the wise one. Woo, wow, what's going on? Life is happening. Life is good. It's getting better. I welcome all of you in the chat room.
Those of you listening on the phone line, thank you for being here. The number is 347-426-3346. That's where we're taking your questions. And maybe you have some thoughts that are bubbling up for you. Some things you're working through. Sherry Richardson here. I am here. We'll be happy to assist you on your soul's journey. We're also taking your questions on Ask Life Coach Ade fan page. Ask Life Coach Ade, A-D-E, fan page on Facebook. You can post your questions there. And Casper, I will get to it. I want to play today. I really want to play. I just want to relax. And Sherry's here to help me relax. Okay, so now, what else? While I'm relaxing, let me remember what I need to do. Okay, so if you don't do Facebook, if you don't do Facebook and you can't get on Facebook, you can go to lifeconversationsmedia.com, lifeconversationsmedia.com. There is an Ask Life Coach at a tab on there. Just click that and email us your question or your comment or whatever you want to share with us. Or we're also taking, we're looking at comments. I'm not taking questions in the chat room, but I'll look at it. You may stimulate thoughts. Maybe when you're going, I don't know about that. But anyway, you know how to reach us. 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. And, on lifeconversationsmedia.com is where you can find out everything. Well, okay, almost everything that happens with Life Conversations Radio Network. You can't find everything, but almost everything. It'll give you an idea of what we're doing behind the scenes. Just trust me, there's a lot going on. And on past guests, you can find the past guests, upcoming guests. We have a lot happening over here. And a lot is happening right now as I talk and type and trying to see if I'm typing the right thing. Is this your idea of playing multitasking? Of course. Just because I'm a man don't mean I can't multitask. So let's take this moment right now. Let's just take this moment to send out love, light, blessings, compassion, just healing energy to Michael Bernard Beckwith's family. His mother made her transition, I think, about two nights ago, I think. Let's just enfold them, know that all is well as they adjust to the new phase of their life as their mother made her transition. And I just want to take this moment to give thanks for the life, the soul called Alice Beckwith, who gave us Michael Beckwith. And through her, we have Agape. So through her, she's changing the world. Even though she's not here in the body, her legacy lives on. And I'm grateful for all that has happened and didn't happen for us to experience Ricky Byers Beckwith, Michael Bernard Beckwith, and the work that they're doing. So make sure you check them out today. You can also find them out on Facebook. You put Michael Bernard Beckwith, send your love, or go to their website, agapelive.com, agapelive.com, and just be the love. What would you want in a time like this? It's not about pity. It's not about, oh, that's a shame. Transition happens. But just being there in a compassionate kind of way and knowing that all is truly well, holding the light of truth. So let's keep this party going, and let's click this tab. I'm ready to bring Sherry on because I'm holding myself back. Sherry, she's an author, she's a filmmaker, you know, she's done a lot, but she's really a storyteller. She's here to inspire us, to lead us with ideas, to get us going, I never quite thought about that. So she's a transformation agent. And I know it. She's part of the changes happening in the world. And I'm grateful to have her. Let me read a little bit about her. Tiny little bit. Because who she is so much more than what we can ever read or write. Sherry Richards is an inspiring speaker, author, and a hypnotherapist. Touching people worldwide with her playful yet healing message of love and acceptance. That's all we need, love and acceptance. That's the healing right there. Miss Richards' talents are many. Her background includes a 30-year career in radio and television journalism, filmmaking, acting, and music. She's the author of an audiobook for children and a writer-director of an award-winning short film. Her spiritual studies are vast: astrology, metaphysics, so much more, and includes 10 years of teaching in the Sedona, Arizona Mystery School. Get this, 10 years of teaching in the Arizona Mystery School, founded by her mother. Wow, what a gift. What a gift. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics and skeptics, physical beings and non-physical beings, help me welcome my wonderful guest, Sherry Richards.
Wow, what an intro there, and all that wonderful applause. I like the applause from the divine beings especially. That's my favorite.
Yes, yes. Can you feel the light?
I can feel it. It's just pouring down. It's so wonderful. You are flying
it
indeed.
It is so nice. It's nice to have you in this fireplace.
Yeah, it's nice and toasty
you.
Warm.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited. I don't know what we're going to talk about. I have an idea, but I open to this. Just see where we end up.
I'm ready for the ride.
Let's do it. Okay, so I read a tiny little bit about you. There's so much about you on your website, which we'll share with listeners in a few minutes. But I want to ask you from your perspective, from your point of view, who are you? Who is Sherry Richards?
Well, I like to see myself as a vehicle for the divine to come through, you know, and I have my little human self and all of that, but when I'm really alive, when I'm really shining is when I just get out of the way and I just allow the light and the love and the peace and the joy and the beauty to just come through me, to fill my body, to fill my heart, and to allow me to share it in the world.
Yes.
And so that's kind of, the beauteous part of me, and I can name all these other things as you did that I do in the world, but that's the part that really thrills me is when I'm opening to divine.
I understand, because you never know what's going to happen, and whatever happens, you know is good.
It's absolutely good. And what I write about in my book, you know, talked about my subtitle, The Art of Loving Your Unlovable Self. So the book is Dancing with Your Dragon, The Art of Loving Your Unlovable Self. Well, so what is that unlovable self? Well, for me, you know, for years and years and years, I did not like myself at all. In fact, I hated myself. And there was no reason that you could see, you know, fairly pretty and talented and doing things and relatively successful. But I had this big, terrible judge inside of me that was always telling me I wasn't good enough, not good enough, not good enough, not good enough. And I was listening to that voice, and it's like there was this little child inside of me that was believing all the things that this judge was saying about me. And every time the judge would say something, the little child would just like start to curl up and get really scared and go into a fetal kind of position and just go down. And then the little child inside is so much a part of our feelings and our emotions and our humanness. And when she is hurting, the energy goes flat and pain happens and suffering happens and all this kind of stuff happens. And so what I really had to learn a lot through the help of my mother, and the mother story is a two-edged sword. I don't know if you got to look into the book, but there's definitely a two-edged sword there. But anyway, my mother's a wonderful spiritual teacher, and she taught me much about meditation and quieting the mind and getting out of the way, and I learned to recognize this judge voice in my head, and I taught myself to stop listening to it. And that ties in with what you were talking about earlier about beliefs. You know, what is it that you believe? And when you believe things about yourself that are just not the truth, then it affects everything in your life. So my process of learning to love yourself is a heartful process. It's about acceptance. It's about shining the light and accepting everything that's in there. And even, you know, as a person who was raised in a spiritual house, I had a lot of judgment about anger. And This is where the mother piece came in, because when I was 19 years old, my mother actually ran off with my boyfriend. This is before she went off to India and became a spiritual teacher. Not her.
No. Ain't you a powerful soul? Wow.
Yeah. It hurt, and I loved her so much. She was the one that I loved more than anyone, and she never really got the level at which that hurt me. But it took me on this journey where eventually I had to let go of the need for her to be the one that I was looking to for the love. Stop looking outside myself for that love. And through her help, eventually we were estranged for 15 years. Eventually I came to Sedona. I was doing a New Agey type of talk show similar to what you're doing on the radio here. And she called one day and said, how would you feel if I moved to Sedona? And I'm like, wow, that would be interesting. And she moved here. She started this school. I was in it for 10 years. She passed away in 98. And there I actually learned a lot of techniques that helped me do a deep, deep level of healing to heal the pain that she sort of initiated. She never did come to, you know, being responsible in any way for my pain, which was something she was very good at. She's big on self-responsibility. But what I learned to tune into the divine and to find my inner mother and to find the divine mother and to find that I can be touched both as the mother for my little child inside me as the mother and also the divine, that energy of light and love is just always there. It's always, always there. And all you have to do is learn how to find, you know, what road to take, to know the path, to open up, to just receive it, basically.
Yes, yes. You know, I listen to your story and the things you share, and I'm just like, oh, God. I mean, there's so much there that needs unpacking. I mean, your book, as you said, is Dancing with Your Dragon, The Art of Loving Your Unlovable Self. And I want to come back to that wonderful dance with your mother and that experience. But when we say dancing, when you say dancing with your dragon, what is this dragon and why, whatever that is, why is it called the dragon?
Well, it's very interesting. The dragon is a fascinating symbol. And yes, there are those who actually see dragons and work with dragon energy and all of that kind of stuff. But I use the dragon more as a symbol. And in the East, it's a symbol for power. And in the West, it's kind of the word dragon and the word devil in the Western mythology has kind of become synonymous. I mean, the Western religious tradition tended to really vilify the whole idea of the dragon. And in literature, in biblical literature, the dragon and snakes are often exchangeable as a symbol. And, you know, of course, we've got the Garden of Eden and Eve and the dragon and the feminine and all of this kind of stuff. And through my research of the symbol of the dragon, I came to discover that it's very much an earthly energy. It's related to the earth, to the body, to the physical material. And so there's been a lot of judgment in Western religions about the material body. There's a big split between us and our physicality. And so there's that piece of it. But also for me, it's just personal to everyone, whatever part of themselves they are judging, whatever part of themselves they're repressing or denying or trying to kill or trying to get rid of. Because when you try to get rid of something and kill it, when it's a part of your own energy field, you're actually losing your power. You're actually trying to, like, cut off part of your power and throw it away. Whereas when you learn to embrace that power, then it becomes integrated and you can use it for whatever you want. So you can look at a power like electricity, for example. Electricity can help us every day when we turn on our light switch and to run all of the different little appliances we have in our house. We love our electricity, but if you have faulty wiring in your house, it can also start a fire.
That's right.
Yeah, and burn your house down. So you have to be conscious. You have to be aware. Am I having faulty wiring in my system here? Or can I patch up that wiring and then get that dragon to dance through my body and have access to this wonderful power that then I can use for positive, for good, for life, for helping, for service, for enjoyment, for pleasure.
Yes, yes, yes. Dancing with the dragon, with your dragon.
Your dragon.
Part of loving your unlovable self. You know, when I say that, look at it, read those words, and what comes up for me is those of us, and I say us, those of us that are united in spirit, because it's not a generalization. If you don't fit it, then you don't fit in. I'm talking about those of us united in spirit that go on a spiritual path. We started a journey trying to maybe seeking a way to heal the darkness, but more so chase the light. I think it's Debbie Ford. She has a book, The Dark Side of the Light Chasers.
Yeah.
And there's this thing where we want to run to be love, be joy, be happy. But we want to ignore the part of us that's frustrating, that gets angry, that gets mad. They even want to do things sometimes. We just feel our body asking for it, but we don't want to admit it. And it's like we're running towards the light, running away from ourselves. So when we're talking about the art of loving your unlovable self, what would you say to someone who is saying, you know, I've been doing my spiritual practice, I'm meditating, I'm affirming, I'm praying, you know, but I don't know why all of this is happening to me. I can't have a great relationship. I can't have money. I don't know why I'm still sick. I just wish I'm not like this. What would you say to a person who's going through that wonderful experience?
Sounds like dark night of the soul type of stuff. Yeah, the dragon.
Yes.
Exactly. Mm. What I say is go in. Don't go out. Don't go away from it. Bring the light to it. Don't chase the light up. It's like wherever you're, they have a saying in metaphysical teachings, where attention goes, energy follows. So one of the tools I use in my book, I call the dragonometer. And the dragonometer is simply just like a meter. It rhymes with speedometer, right? So dragonometer, speedometer. A speedometer is a tool for measuring how fast you're going in your car. And it just tells you you're going 105 miles an hour right now. It doesn't say it's good or bad that you're going 105 miles an hour right now. It just tells you you're going 105 miles an hour. Well, your dragonometer just tells you you're angry right now. You are having a reaction to that person out there right now. You are demanding or insisting something right now. It doesn't judge it. It doesn't say it's right or wrong. It just helps you become aware. And the process of awareness is in itself, in a way, a process of acceptance. If you don't judge something that you're aware of in the moment, you're bringing consciousness to it. And when you bring consciousness to it, you enliven it, you become aware of it, and actually it tends to stop almost as soon as you become aware of it. You can, just the process of awareness happening can break you out of the habitual behavior, whatever that is. So depending on what it is you're trying to work with, you develop awareness. And then I like to take it one step even farther, because awareness in a way is a higher plane kind of an energy. But if you come down a little lower and you bring in the heart, then you embrace it. Then you have unconditional love, acceptance. And you know, when you feel unconditional loved by someone, and especially if you just start with yourself, I mean, I'm not, and sometimes the self maybe is the hardest, but you have to start there. That's that old saying, you have to love yourself first. And I was like, oh, it's such a cliche. But it's true. It's just
it's a cliche that if you hold on to it, you will find yourself clicking with the right folks, because it will take you free. I want to take a quick break.
Okay.
When we come back, I want to drop it down a little bit, because, you know, this whole thing about getting to the heart and unconditional love, it's interesting, because, you know, there are people who can say, I've never been loved unconditionally, or the conversation that everybody's saying, I want to be loved unconditionally. So there's something in us that knows that it is our birthright. There is an intelligence that says this is who we are. But life experiences, you shared your mother running away with your boyfriend. Ooh, I would be angry. I was feeling fire for you. That when you said, like, what kind of a mother would do that? So my dragon was like getting in your business. So I was like, calm down.
Yeah, and
dragon.
That's the tricky stuff, to not judge her too, you know.
That's right. That is so true. But when we come back, I want to talk about how we actually
how we can get to those childhood issues that show up in relationship with our fathers, our mothers, our boyfriend, our girlfriend, husband, and wife, because that's what we're here to do. We're here to heal that, to make peace with that. Because
absolutely.
Sometimes we want to run to love and run away from what feels painful, but what you're talking about, the art of loving your unlovable self, is to love the part of you that feels horrible, that you just ashamed to share. But we're going to talk about that when we come back. Ah, ooh, life is good. It's getting better. You are listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Sherry Richards is here. She's taking your questions, 347-426-3346. And, we're going to give away some books because Sherry's on a mission. She's on a mission to use that the fire of the dragon to transform humanity. We're going to take a break. We will be right back. And the truth is, we are one with the one. 347-426-3346. And if you're not, I'm going to play something here, 30 seconds. If you don't feel this, it might sound good in your head, but if you're not feeling it in your soul, you need to call in. 347-426-3346. We'll be right back.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong, I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God, I am you. I am healed, I am love, I am great. I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations works with people to increase their organizational and individual potential by assisting them in identifying habits, attitudes, beliefs, and expectations that hinder their performance professionally and socially. Life Conversations is committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be.
Snickerdoodle shortbread, fudgy nut bars. How many treats? Snickerdoodle shortbread, fudgy nut bars. How many treats in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the row.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
If you think depression is all in a person's head, you're right. It's a brain illness. And like other illnesses, it has symptoms. A person suffering from depression might feel sad, empty, or numb. They might sleep more or less, eat a lot, or not at all, or show little interest in participating in ordinary activities. Mood swings, including anger and sadness, are common. They're often tired and have a hard time concentrating or making decisions. Depression can make those who suffer from it feel hopeless. It can even lead to suicide. If you see the symptoms of depression, get that person to a doctor. With medical help, depression can be treated and suicide can be prevented. Learn how to stop depression from taking another life. Call SAVE, Suicide Awareness Voices of Education, 1-888-511-SAVE, on the web at save.org.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
And that's the truth. We do the best hosting in the planet, and we make no apologies for that. You are listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. My guest is Sherry Richardson. No, Richards. I knew I was going to do that. Sherry Richards. There you go. Her website address is real simple. It's the title of her book, DancingWithYourDragon.com. It's real simple. It's DancingWithYourDragon.com. And so pay attention because there's some things you need from that site. We'll tell you more about that. And, yes, we are discussing, talking, sharing, having a conversation about the art of loving your unlovable self. And, Sherry, just before the break, I was talking about the childhood drama that we all experience. And I want to go back to your story, you know, and just get personal a little bit. When you talked about your mother running away with your boyfriend, what was that like for you? And before you turned the corner, what did you take? What meaning did you take from that? How did you see your mother when that happened? Before you learned to love the experience.
Well, I was in great pain over it. I suffered and suffered over it for many years because it was a double-edged sword because I loved her so much. You know, it's one thing if you have problems with your mom, you never really got along with her. All of us want love from our mothers, I think, deep down, even if we say we don't like them or something. But I think at a deep, deep level, we long for that. But I always liked her, admired her, wanted to be like her, put her on a pedestal, thought she was wonderful, and I was not. And so then when this happened, the way the story played out is she actually had me committed to a mental hospital. And while I was in the mental hospital, that's when they got together. And then when I got out, and she was a therapist. And immediately when I got out, we took this cross-country trip. It was the two of them in the front seat and me in the back seat. And we're driving cross country to meet up with the rest of my family, and they're doing their lovebird thing, and I was just a mess. I couldn't find any sense of myself. I was hating myself, hating myself, hating myself. Yeah. She was 40, he was 20, and, you know, that's a lot more common these days. We got the cougar thing going on. And
right. Not fashionable.
She was like, the original cougar.
She started it, huh?
She started the movement, yeah.
What a soul agreement you and your mother had, you know, because there's other stuff going on the soul level, but we'll talk about that, but go ahead.
But that's the point. That's what you're, you know, because my whole journey metaphysically, and as I began to do therapy and try to come to terms with all this, my whole journey was, okay, how did I create this? What was my responsibility in it? What am I supposed to learn from it? There was all of that. And so, first of all, I looked really closely at any way that I might tend to want to pull male attention away from any other woman. That became something I became extremely conscious of, and to make sure that I never, ever, ever, ever did that. And so I looked at how I was using my own sexuality. So that was one thing that I learned. I took responsibility for having to see where I didn't like myself. That was another piece. Just having to find my own core, my own power, my own essence. How did I put my mother on a pedestal and want to be so much like her and not find my own journey and the truth of who I am? I had to come to terms with my anger. That was probably the hardest piece for me. I've had incredible judgment about anger and competition. So those were like two of my dragons.
How did you do that? What process did you go through to come to terms with the anger and being able to, I'm sure there was forgiveness in that. What did you do?
Well, the first thing I had to do was give myself permission to really feel it, to let it be okay that I'm angry. And, you know, I'm also a hypnotherapist, and I do a wonderful process with people. There's something about, you know, this anger thing it's a difficult dance for us, I think, on the earth, because when we feel hurt, the natural reaction to that, one, you can go two ways. You can go into the deep victim kind of the sadness thing, or you can go into the anger, I'm going to hurt you back, kind of a revenge thing. And so neither one of them are very helpful, but there are natural responses that we have at a certain level of our being until perhaps we evolve beyond it. I don't know. I haven't evolved totally beyond it yet, so I can't say what happens at that high level. But it does get better as you become more and more aware of it. And you can find a way to clear it in the moment. So I call that piece of myself the part that gets angry and the part that, I don't like that person. You know, I call that my little girl. okay? Because when we have children, I personally don't have children, but, you know, I was a child, and we see children, and it's like, you did that, and then I don't like you, you know? And they say that, you know, they say that to mom, and that's how they are. And then you're like, well, now, honey, you know, or you might want to share that with your brother, that let's share. We try to teach them all of these kinds of nice things. Well, one thing I learned about dragons when I was studying, you know, the dragon as a metaphor, a lot of times when you're working with an animal or something as a symbol, the way that you interpret the symbol is to find all of its attributes. And the attributes that it has are related to what its meaning is in you. So first thing about dragons and snakes are interchangeable, and we don't have anybody that's studying dragons right now, so I reverted to the snake. And when you look when you look at a snake, I mean, a snake has a terrible reputation for the most part in our language. Let's say when you call somebody, that person's a snake, that is not a compliment, right?
Right. He's not a healer. He's
right.
He's
not
about transformation. Well, yes.
But, so what is it about snakes? How do they live? Well, typically, for the most part, snakes do not mother their kids. They lay their eggs, their kids hatch, they're kind of born instinctually knowing what to do for themselves. So just like our bodies have a certain instinctual knowledge of how to heal themselves, that's pretty magical. They shed their skin, so they have the transformation thing going on, which is also pretty amazing. And they're kind of magical creatures. So what I discovered in working with that symbol is that the snake, which undulates and doesn't have needs from others, it's not a social being, it's more of an energy that can be internal. And so when the snake, the dragon, is looking outside of itself for energy, for love, for money, for sex, for something to make it feel good, when the snake is looking outside, the dragon's looking outside, that creates what I call a horizontal plane reality. And that takes the energy away from the divine connection. So when you turn that around and you have the dragon, which to me is just a little child for the most part, it's the untrained part of ourselves. It's the part that doesn't understand, that hasn't learned yet what the real truth is, and that we have to reparent. And when that energy turns around and starts to focus in and starts to look up for guidance, not from the mind that's judging and carrying all of the beliefs that don't serve us, all of our training that may have come from parents who didn't understand, or from a religious place that was not clear, or just some misunderstanding. When we learn to get that out of the way and retrain the child to look to the divine, then the snake becomes the snake of the caduceus that rises up the spine and bursts into wings when it reaches the crown and the wings of angels as we fly into the heavens and like that. Was that too far out there for all that?
You can go as far as you want, because we're going to go out and in, because I really believe if we just look at our lives from just a physical perspective, from being moral, you know, the moral belief system that we have, what's good or bad, what's right or wrong, we will forever be in bondage. But we have to go far out. We have to see from a broader perspective so we can set ourselves free. Because nothing is good or bad. It's just how we think about it.
Right.
So, yes, let's go in and out, out and down, because that's the real healing. So let's stay with that inner child. You call yours the little child when you have that feeling of maybe control or feeling losing control. And we all have it. And sometimes some people are afraid to just be with themselves. You know, you said something that I really believe is the key. It is that giving ourselves permission to feel our feelings.
Yes.
Because when we're angry, when we're mad, when we're frustrated, we're just angry and mad and frustrated because we're angry, frustrated, and mad. We don't really want to feel it. I don't like feeling this way. This is not me. They did it to me. Talk to us about getting to a place where we can give ourselves permission to feel what we're feeling, whatever that is.
Well, it comes back again to what I call the dragonometer in my book. And I say the dragonometer is wired to to an emotional part of our being, an emotional alarm clock. So when you start to pay attention, we tend to be more mental people in our society, and when you start to pay attention to your emotional alarm clock, you feel like a little vibration, like, okay, wake up, you're having an emotion, you're feeling something, and maybe you're aware of it or maybe you're not aware of it. But whether you're aware of it or you're not aware of it, when you start to notice through the emotional alarm clock, through a focused decision, using your will to say, I'm going to pay attention, then when that feeling begins to arise in you, you stop, you breathe, you allow, you feel, and there's, and you don't have to put it on anybody. When I do this healing work for myself, I have a process I call acting in. So if you get triggered in a relationship to some kind of emotional state, perhaps it's anger or something like that, if you try to work that out in the moment with the other person, you're just going to go down a deep, dark hole and have a hard time coming back out. Because the other person's going to get defensive, and nobody wants to be the one that's wrong, and it's not my fault, it's your fault. No, it's not my fault, it's your fault, and you did it, and you did it, and you did it. Right. And then it's a mess. So you just can, I'm sure you've been there. So
and then it becomes, I can't believe you just said that. You said, and like, I didn't say that. Oh, yes, you did. No, I didn't. And for me, I'm like, did I say that? I can't remember what I said 1 second ago. As a matter of fact, I have no clue what's really going on here.
I know. And we have different parts of ourselves. You know, that's one of the things, too, I work with in hypnotherapy with clients. Is like we have, you know, the part that's love and light and believes in beauty and truth and all this. And then we got some part that's like really mad. And that part also needs to have a voice. It doesn't have to have a voice to the outer, but it has to have a voice to the inner. We have to be able to find out what its message is. What does it need? What are we ignoring? What can we give it that helps it feel better? And it's like I kind of see myself as this big mama of all of these different energies that live inside of me. They all, a lot of them have different needs, and they have, it's like having a bunch of children, and, you know, this one loves to dance, and this one likes cookies, and that one wants broccoli, and you know, this one wants to go out and run, and they have all these different needs, and, you know, it's like, okay, how do I help each one of those little children inside of me have their needs met so they can flower and grow and express themselves and bring things to life that are wonderful?
Right, right. So true, so true. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. My guest is Sherry Richards. Her website address is Dancing with Dragons. We are talking, sharing about loving, the art of loving your unlovable self. And I trust that it's triggering stuff for you. And I hope it's, I really hold an intention that it's triggering your inner judge right now. It's that critical voice inside of you. And I'm number 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. Let's talk about the inner judge that I just mentioned. You know, it's an inner judge. Some people are like, what's that? I don't have an inner judge.
That the judge is this voice that goes on in our heads all day long, and it tends to happen in the background so that we're not always consciously aware that voice is happening, and it may start with, okay, you're really having a bad hair today. Oh, I can't believe you said that. That is so stupid. What's wrong with you? Well, you look like you've put on some weight. Your jeans are a little tight, aren't they? Wow, look at you. Oh, my God, look at those wrinkles. You're starting to get old. What else does it say? You know, if you were really a smart person, you would have gotten a college degree, or you need to read more. You're just not educated. Well, how does that person know about that? I don't know anything about that. I feel so stupid. You know.
Here's one. You go out there making people laugh and happy, but you know you're not really happy. You know you're alone.
You're okay.
You act like everything is okay, but you really know you're unhappy. You're sad.
There you go.
Oh, am I just telling my own story? Oh, there's only one of us anyway. I'm speaking for the one of us that lives in me.
Yeah, he's telling tales on himself a little bit. I mean, everyone has their own version of that, whatever it may be. And so the key, what I discovered inside myself that was so amazing to me is how much that voice was affecting me on an emotional level unconsciously and making me really, really feel bad about myself. Mm. And actually, you know, we can feel pretty good kind of any time because there is love and light and energy and life force that's available sort of anytime we want to tune into it once you learn how to get there. But if this judge is constantly saying that underneath the surface, it's talking to the subconscious part of us, to the dragon, to the child within, and the child is responding to that voice. Mm-hmm. Just like if you had a parent that when you grew up said, you are no good, you're not going to amount to anything, I can't believe you're such an ugly child, you are so stupid, how did you do that, you're so stupid, you know? Mm-hmm. And if you grew up in a situation like that, and you took that in, you end up feeling bad about yourself. When you feel bad about yourself, your energy goes flat. You get tired. Mm-hmm. You get lethargic. Can't move. I have some exercises in my book where you can kind of try this out on yourself and just say to yourself, inside yourself, close your eyes and just take a moment and say, you're really stupid. And then just notice what happens. It's like I said that to myself, and I just felt my whole energy go, blah. Mm-hmm. And then I want to turn that around and say something like that wonderful little clip you played before our last break, that woman who was singing those beautiful words, something like, you're beautiful, you're full of light, you're wonderful, you're great, you know. And then, oh, I can feel my energy changing. It's responding to my own authority, the authority of my own mind, my own belief system. I'll just add one more thing. What I really found the most powerful for me is to learn to get the mind, the mental layer of our human self quiet, which is the art of meditation, and then to receive the higher love, which for me personally doesn't come in words. It just comes in an energetic, like a vibration. Mm-hmm. And then that really lifts my whole being. And so I have a technique also that I offer in the book, which I call listening to the divine hum. And it's like there's a sound current and a light current. And this is the sound current. And if you get quiet and you put your attention into the center of your head, you can listen to kind of a frequency. It's a high-pitched frequency. It just takes a little practice. And what I practiced doing when I was breaking this habit of judging myself all the time is just when I noticed the judge was there, okay, just find that frequency and listen to that. Just like I'm choosing to listen to music or choosing to listen to birds or choosing to listen to something, fully listening to that frequency. And then that began to break that pattern of thinking so that the majority of the time now that judge doesn't plague me. Sometimes it does, but the majority of the time it doesn't.
Yes, 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 yes. Whew!
You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. We're preparing at 1 o'clock for the segment Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, and we're going to continue the conversation. We're not going anywhere yet, but I'm just letting you know what's coming up. The conversation with the art of loving your unlovable self. And Sherry, I want to come back. You know, you give techniques in your book. There's a technique where, you know, called a magic mirror. And as I listen to you, I'm going to tie all of this together and I just let you go wherever you want to go with it. I'm not even going to try and package it anyway. But I'm thinking of when you were talking earlier, I thought of how to say I am wonderful, I am healed, I am free, just the affirmation that I am the delight of God. Somehow it seems so silly or seems so simple that something in us rejects that idea or we don't think is a powerful medicine. What is it about us or from the work that you've done, what is it about humanity that we really, that what we need is right here, we feel like it's not strong enough to bring us to where we want to get to, you know, to just really affirm that we are loved, that we are healed, that we are free, and we're here in this moment and we're not the story. What causes us to be so, why can't we just take that? And why is it so difficult, really? Why is it so difficult to accept that?
I feel that the difficulty lies in the old emotions that are carried in the subconscious. And that's one of the reasons that the hypnotherapy is such an amazing practice as well, because we go down in there and we find those places that are vibrating in an old situation where we took on a belief. It's one thing to have the belief in the mental body, but when it's in your emotional body, that prevents the energy of love from actually coming in, because there's something that feels not of love that's down there that you're holding on to because it felt so scary at the time that it happened when we were little children that we were not able to process it. And it remains in the emotional body system, in the subconscious mind, as kind of like a rock or a frozen spot, a block in the energy field. And so then you want the love to come in there, but there's something in the way of it. So what do you do? Well, let's say you have some old concrete in your house and you want to, get rid of it. It's some kind of big concrete thing that ended up in your living room. You need to be able to break it up somehow. Mm-hmm. Or it's in your yard, I guess, probably a better place for it. So one of the ways to do it is just to go in there and feel it. And we do this a lot in hypnotherapy, too. It's a catharsis process, which the Greeks used catharsis for healing. They did it a lot through their plays and through theater and all of that. But to just open your mouth, turn it into sound, give yourself permission to feel the thing, know that it's not so scary. I help people on these journeys, but for myself, I did a lot of it through the assistance of the divine, through angels, just inviting them to come down there with me and to have the courage to just feel that old thing. And what's so interesting about feelings is that we're afraid of an idea of a feeling that we have, that it's some terrible thing, right?
That
happened 20, 30, however many years ago. And it's really just a vibration. So you go down in there and it goes, and then all of a sudden, now it's gone. Mm-hmm. And when that leaves, now there's room for more light. There's room for more love. And so I work a lot with sound and movement and expression of feeling. I almost have an emotional release session almost on a daily basis where I just I shake my body. You said earlier, shake it off. Shake it off. That's so like the dog, my dog, she gets up, she shakes it off every time she gets up.
But now I'm awake now. I have to go for something to eat or go pee or what do I need to do? Let me shake it off so I can get clear.
Get clear, shake it off. And so, I sometimes start wailing and my husband has learned not to come in and try to rescue me every time he hears this now. He's like, oh, what's the matter?
Well, he might meet the dragon that you're letting go of.
Yes. And so I don't even know what it is. I don't even know what it's related to. It doesn't even have a story. It's just something in there that wants to come out. And that's, for me, the fastest, easiest way I know to get it out of there.
And I think what sort of people who may be struggling with different kind of vibration and emotions that they're feeling, it's like to release the story and allow themselves to just allow what is happening. Because as you said earlier, some of the things that we're experiencing now when we become aware, because that's what awareness is. When you become aware, that means you're seeing something that you didn't see before. You become aware to something that was there. So when you become spiritually aware, you realize there's a vibration inside of you that doesn't feel good. Then, now that you recognize, rather than beat yourself up for having the vibration, you say, okay, now what do I need to do to release this? And logic cannot get you there. Logic is not going to do it.
No.
Sherry talked about dancing and singing, because that's the language of the soul.
Yeah.
It's on a deeper level. We got to bring ourselves to that place where we allow our soul to come alive to heal itself. We just need to create the space and acceptance. I love that conversation. 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. We're also taking your questions on Ask Life Coach at a fan page. Or you can go to lifeconversationsmedia.com. Lifeconversationsmedia.com. You can send your questions in from there if you don't do Facebook. We're getting ready for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan. And we're going to continue this conversation. We're going to talk about the magic mirror, how to help yourself develop and become aware, and being able to stand in with yourself regardless of what you're feeling, because you don't need anybody else's permission. The only permission you need is yours. And you have the right, you have the power, the gift to give yourself permission to show up fully. 347-426-3346. We are now getting ready for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan. When you hear this song, Destiny, Muhammad, Grace, it means Celeste Morgan is in the house. Hello, Celeste. How are you doing?
I'm so excited. Hello, Sherry. Hello, Life Coach.
You sound like you're in a trance.
I am. We're talking about dragons. You guys know I love dragons.
We love
Sherry,
you
welcome them. Home. Welcome home, Sherry. You just fit in so nicely.
Oh,
my goodness. And I want to thank you for helping me today, because seriously, I want to thank all the people in my life who have given me snake bites. Mm-hmm. I would not be where I am in this moment without them. Thank you, good, beautiful people, all of you. And I mean that from my heart. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Celeste.
So good afternoon, family. I am Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moments. Numbers give us information to help us navigate and embrace all that's showing up in our life right now. I come bearing a number gift. It's Wednesday, March 7th, 2012, one day before the full worm moon. Some actually call it the full crow moon, too. It's happening in Virgo, so take care of yourself when that moonlight hits your shadows. So, when we add the date, we get 2022. Add 2022 and the energy of the day equals 6. The sixth letter of the alphabet is F. And words like fun, fantasy, and fire connect us to the magical power of 6. 6 is the peace lover. The number 6 is a loving, stable, and harmonious vibration, and it is ruled by Venus. 6 is the lovers in tarot. The lovers are connected to Gemini astrologically. 6 is also the snake transmutation in medicine cards. Our sixth chakra is our third eye chakra and awakens when we truly know ourselves. We can see through the shadows when we are in love with ourselves. Today, we're going to put the spotlight on the bat. The bat's number is not 6, it's actually 42. But when you add 4 plus 2, you get 6. So here we go. I love Batman, but I still jumped out of my skin when I had my first bat experience last year. We often fear what we don't understand, but it wasn't until I was able to remember that the bat gives the gift of rebirth that I was actually able to enjoy the experience. The bat actually is considered to be the good mother. Bats, you say? Yes, indeed. Bats are mammals. They are often mistakenly called flying rodents or flying rats. They suckle their young. They also teach us how to confront our fears, and we become reborn without our old identities when we mother ourselves. Bats help us to release fear and patterns which no longer fits within our pattern of growth. Bats flying into your life signifies that transformation of the ego self is about to occur, the end of a way of life and the start of another. It's a lot easier when we simply allow the changes and embrace them. As you do that, you give yourself and others a needed break as you dance. You also receive gifts connected to more self-awareness when you open up to yourself. What's not to love? We're talking about you. And that's the story of 6, told through our friend the bat. All is well. I'll see you on Thursday around 1 for another Celestial Moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Celeste, for tying it all together, doing what you do. There are no accidents. And if you call it an accident, it's okay. It's only leading you to access your God potential. So trust the process of life. We have a question on Facebook, a comment and a question. Let's see. Let me go here. Let's go here. Let's click this tab. And from Tammy. Tammy said, She's talking about you, Sherry. She says, she has wonderful energy and is speaking to me about my emotional roller coaster ride this week. I was getting really upset with myself for even getting to that emotional place. I am so grateful to this message this morning. And now, she said, and now I know what Ade has always said, that there is a gift in even the negative emotions and feelings. Yes, there is. Now, here's a question that she has. Let's go here. Let's go over to this computer. Oh, I am so abundant. So, Sherry, here's a question. She said, I love how Sherry says to use the emotions as a guide, showing you what is present for you in the moment. She said, I would like to ask, what is the best way to embrace the not-so-good emotion or feelings and how to turn it around? Or is it necessary to really turn it around?
Well, what's really interesting about that is when you just allow the emotion to just be as it is, just accept it. So we started to talk about unconditional love quite a while ago, and I tend to go round and round on things sometimes and get a little bit off track.
That's why I like you, because I'm like right there with you. I'm abusing myself being like that. It's like, make your point. Oh, you come back to me later? Okay, great. Go ahead.
So unconditional love actually means there are no conditions, and that is hard to grok. No conditions? No conditions. And I like to liken it to space. So if you imagine yourself, your physical self, in a room, and it's empty, and you're trying to move around, and you want to kick and scream and shove and, you know, do kung fu, whatever you want to do in this room, and it's a big empty room, there's nothing in the room that's going to stop you. There's no judgments, there's no conditions, there's no people, there's nobody saying, you look stupid, you can't do that. There's nothing like that. So if you imagine your heart as a big empty room full of space, the heart is the transformer. And a lot of these challenging emotions happen in the lower level of our beings. You could call it the lower chakras. The heart's kind of in the middle. It negotiates between the upper chakras and the mental world and the lower chakras. And I see it as the space of the heart. If you know of Mitten and Pramal, David Pramal, she writes a beautiful album called Love is Space. So space just embraces whatever is there. So if anger comes or frustration or jealousy or a negative emotion, it's just deep breath. Oh, there's anger. I'm angry. Okay. Oh, no, I'm laughing. Okay, that's cool. You know, something like that. And if it's frustration, so it's just truly just allowing it and then really feeling it. And you can feel through expression, or you can feel just by breathing in and then just opening and just feeling the vibration of the feeling and allowing that to pass through you. And I do both. Some people might find one or the other more helpful, but that deep, deep level feeling really allows it to move. And feelings, they change in a heartbeat. And all you have to do is spend some time with the child who's, you know, mental body and all the judgments and controls and how we're supposed to be and we should be like this and we can't feel because you're not allowed to do that in public and that's not appropriate for a grown person and blah, blah, blah. But you've got, you know, a three-year-old who is just doing their thing and they're like, let me give you a kiss. Okay, I'm better. And then off they go. You know, it's like, it's fast. It doesn't take a long time.
Yes, yes. You know, as you're talking, I remind when I'm working with people, it's like, I have to remind myself, and I remind people that I work with, we've got to treat ourselves like a 3 or 4 year old who ran out of the bedroom saying, there's a monster in there. Now, there are some parents who are going to say, get your butt in bed. But generally, most people say, come in, or they go in and make some loud noises and say, oh, it's okay, baby. The monster's gone. We're compassionate. We love them unconditionally. Yeah. We don't judge them. Saying, I can't believe you're 3 years old and you're scared of monster. But that's what we do to ourselves when that inner child is afraid of the monster of the world. And we've got to learn to love ourselves the way we would love a 3 or 4 year old.
Absolutely. To have the compassion, because there are children in there. And we, you know, once I found this little child in me. I call her my little six-year-old, and I had her locked in jail. And I wasn't feeding her. I was starving her to death, and I was, you know, having guards come by and punch on her all the time, and it was terrible to her. It was just awful.
Ooh, you were tough.
I was just tough, terrible tough. And once I found her, and she is also the keeper of my aliveness, of my connection to nature, of my connection with the divine in so many ways. You know, we have to be as little children in order to come to heaven. I don't know how exactly it's said, but that's the gist of it.
To get into the kingdom of heaven. And what you're talking about, loving that inner child, that inner part, that wounded child, whatever we want to call it, that wounded self, it actually takes courage to do that.
It does.
Because the intellect, the mind is saying, what's all this stuff, loving yourself? What's all that metaphysical new age woo-woo stuff? We all get over it. Just be strong. But we get so strong that we don't allow love to come in. But to really just be still and allow and accept what is happening. We can learn from nature.
Absolutely.
From nature, you know?
So much to learn from nature. And one of the pieces that I started to talk about earlier and never quite wrapped up was the whole idea of the Garden of Eden and the feminine and the earth and that being part of the dragon. There's a piece to that that was really important to me, and that is the feminine piece of our nature, which is related to the feeling body, but also the feminine principle is related to receiving. And when we want to lift ourselves, we have to be open to receive what's there, first of all, our own emotions, and let those move, and then to receive the divine, because we're always, you know, in giving mode. We want to give our thoughts and give our, you know, we're giving, 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 but if you're not receiving, then you break the circle. Giving and receiving is an ebb and flow, breathing in, breathing out, allowing.
When we're not receiving, we're not in balance, right?
Exactly.
Out of balance, really.
Out of balance.
So, Let's take a call. Let's go to Lori. Hello, Lori, my dear sister friend. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm wonderful. Sherry, thank you for blessing me today. I really needed you.
Aww.
And I do have a question. And my question is, Sherry, I had a lot of hurt and pain from my mom in my past, too. And I'm a mother. And my kids mean everything to me. So now when my daughter, she's a teenager, when she pissed me off, it's like I remind her that when I was your age, I was kicked out of the house because my mom kicked me out, you know. But my question for you is, how do I let go of my past hurt and pain so that I can live in the present and be a better mother for my children than my mother was to me?
Well, one of the magical tools that I use, and I do this for people in hypnotherapy, but you can try it on your own as well. We call it etheric plane communication, and basically it's just the idea that we're all living in a big field of energy and that our thoughts and our feelings transfer back and forth to each other, even if we're not saying them out loud necessarily, but we're not aware at that level mostly. So what you can do is you can call on your mother and just put her in front of you and give yourself total permission to say whatever it is you need to say, whatever your little girl needs to say. If you want to call in support from your adult self or any other allies or the divine, just, you know, say it. And maybe you need to yell at her. Maybe you need to take a pillow and squeeze it, and just because you want to get that anger and that hurt and that pain out of your body, so that you can then open it, because if a glass is full, there's no room for anything else to come into the glass. So you want to release those old energies so the glass can empty, the glass of your body can then be open to the love and the light and the beauty and the joy that wants to come in. And so I do help people with this process. You can check my website, dancingwithyourdragon.com, under hypnotherapy if you want to read more about it, or if you want to call me. I have a number there, and I'm happy to do a free consultation with you. But that would be my suggestion, is get the old emotions out. And eventually, when you really have permission to let that out and you get it at the deepest level, I found for myself that's when the forgiveness piece came. because I had to give myself permission to really have the anger. I judged myself for the anger. It could be different for you. But whatever's in there, it needs to come out. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
You're welcome. And you can journal it, too. That's another way to do it.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And, Lori, guess what?
Yes.
Sherry and I, we're committed to your transformation. So you're going to get a copy of Sherry's book, an e-book, Dancing Ooh. With Your Dragon, The Art of Loving Your Unlovable Self. So send me your email and we'll get that information to you and everything. All right?
And happy to talk to you, Lori.
Thank you so much. I love you guys so much. Please.
Your beauty.
You know, Sherry, Laura introduced an important point here. You talked about the art of receiving. I mean, because I tell people it's so easy to give. Receiving is the challenging part because, you know, sometimes we can give when we don't want to give because if I don't give, people are going to judge me and criticize me, so I better give something. But when it comes to receiving, we're like, no, it's okay. I remember part of my conditioning when I was younger, I don't know if it's a tradition, but I know that when we have guests and they're trying to give us money as children, our parents will say, no, it's okay, don't give them the money. And as a child, I'm like, I want that money. And my parents are like, oh, no, don't do that. I used to be pissed. And I would just be like, oh, please, can you be quiet, Mom? I want the money. So we're always told to always be a giver. We're always be a giver. In religious institutions, they say God loves a cheerful giver. Yes, God certainly does love a cheerful giver, and God certainly loves a cheerful receiver. We don't hear that. But so when it comes to mothering and just that the feminine energy is so, I can't find a better word if you can correct it, but I use complex. It's complex because it requires us to be simple. And mothers sometimes, young mothers, find that they're duplicating their parent or doing what the mothers or the father did to them. The question that Lori asked, it's really, I think it's very, very important, especially with the shift that we're going through now. And in your book, you talk about magic mirror. Can mothers use the magic mirror to heal the past and the present?
Yes, and the magic mirror
how?
Is that it's a very simple tool, and I actually just recently, in a blog post, put the whole exercise online. So if you go to my website, dancingwithyourdragon.com, and click on blog, you'll find it there, the magic mirror, a gateway to transformation. But I'm going to explain it to you here. It's simple. So you just look into the outside world. The outside world is really a mirror for everything that's happening inside. And this whole principle comes from the Emerald Tablet.
Break it down, because some of us understand, but the outside is a mirror of what's going on inside. What do you mean by that?
So basically,
really break it down.
I'm really going to break it down because when you look into the outside and even at another person, there's a million things you can focus on. You can look outside and see the sky or a tree or a bunny or, you know, a bottle cap. And your attention is going to go to one of those places, and the place that your attention goes and focuses, that's a message for you. That's what you're focusing on. So when you look at another person, they have their beauty and they have different archetypes inside of them, different qualities, and different people will call up different qualities in someone. So the key to understanding yourself, and this is a journey of self-responsibility, self-awareness, and self-transformation. You, for example, Lori's looking at her daughter and she's seeing a particular quality that's bothering her. What she would do is she would take that energy and describe it in two or three words. Maybe it's rebellion. Okay. So then, once you have the quality that's disturbing you, you then look inside your own body for that same quality, because we all carry everything. We're all little bundles of divinity that carry every possible everything in the universe within us, just like God is in everything. We all carry all those possibilities of humanity because we're all part of the same species. And so if you look deep enough inside, you just scan your body, you look for that place inside where rebellion resonates, just feeling up and down, starting at the toes, coming up, and okay, boom, there's rebellion. I can feel it right in my gut. And the way you feel a resonation, it just kind of goes, you just know it, and you trust that it's resonating there. And then what you do when you find it, you just let it be. Oh, I have rebellion. Oh, I have anger. Oh, I have jealousy. Oh, I'm controlling. I have a controlling part. Even though I do my best never to control anyone, there's my controlling part. Oh, I have a part that feels stupid. Oh, I have a part that wants to be better than everyone else. Oh, whatever it is you're seeing in the outer, if you're having trouble with it, you're out of relationship with it. You're out of harmony with it. You can see it out there, and if it doesn't bother you, there's no problem. It's like, oh, yeah, I see that person there. They look like they're showing off. Okay, they're showing off, but I don't have a problem with that. They're showing off. But if you see that person out there and they're showing off, and you're going, oh, that person's such a show-off. I can't believe they're showing off like that, bragging about themselves, and, oh, that's just so disgusting. Mm-hmm. How could they do that? Then chances are you need to look inside for that inner show-off that is – maybe it's repressed. Maybe you have a huge desire to show off, but you don't ever let yourself show off because it's not right to talk about yourself and brag about yourself and all that. So you repress the show off. And whatever it is, once you find it inside, you just go, okay, there's my inner show off. You know what? It's okay. That opens the heart. That creates the space. That allows the acceptance. That allows the transformation. And once you really accept that piece in yourself, then what happens is the outer world changes to reflect the change in you. And typically the way it works is either if the person, like let's say it's a mean boss and you're having trouble with that, when you accept that maybe you have a mean boss inside of you that's been judging you and beating up on you and telling you how terrible you are, and you change that, now all of a sudden your boss gets fired or gets another job or he's still there or she's still there, but you don't have a problem with them anymore. Something changes, and that's why it's called the magic mirror. Transformation happens, and I've been working with this for 35 years, and I've seen it happen again and again, and I didn't believe it at first. So if you don't believe me, you know, I understand. I had to work with it. I trusted the people who told me, but I had to see it for myself.
That's right. I always tell people, you spot it, you got it. If you see it in somebody else and it aggravates you, triggers you, it's all about you. And that's something that's not, you know, that self responsibility talked about. I want to ask you this because I know you describe your book as a spiritual self help book. And so, staying with that, spiritual self help book, spirituality, sometimes seems like things that are more for females and helping females find their power. How do you work with men who are struggling with loving their unlovable self?
Well, much in the same way. And, you know, I was really excited because I got an email from a man in Scotland who got a hold of my book. And he said, actually, it was sitting at a friend's house, and she wasn't really reading it. So he asked if he could borrow it. He took it home, and it changed his life. And I tend to think that my book is written a little more for women because I am a woman, and so I understand the feminine perspective a little bit. But he was transformed by the process of working with his inner child. He never had permission to do that before. And I think a lot of it is, I feel, is changing somewhat in society now. I know the older generation of men were really pretty much programmed that they weren't allowed to have their feelings. The men weren't allowed to have, you know, their soft, mushy, you know, feminine kinds of, you know, loving puppy dog kind of thing feeling.
Right, right.
And
they're told to man up and stop being a sissy. You know, what's wrong
with right,
you?
Yeah, exactly.
Right, man. You're a big boy.
Got to be a man. You can't have your feelings. And there are many, many men who are deeply feeling beings. You know, some people, I'm an astrologer also, and some of us are constellated differently. And people who are constellated with a lot of air planets, you know, would be Gemini and Aquarius. And the third air planet is evading me at the moment, of course. But anyway, that's mental body. And so if you're all air, chances are your emotions are not going to be as predominant. We all have them. But a man who's got a lot of water, Scorpio and Cancer, and I'm only getting two of them in my brain, so not working with it. But anyway, the water planets, they are feelers, and they have to give themselves permission to feel. And so the first place the judge has got to stop is in your own mind, that it's not okay to feel what you feel. And then, you know, if outer people are going to judge, that's their problem. But once you give yourself permission to have your feelings and to feel them, and if you don't want to be, you know, crying out in public, which I tend to, you know, people look in my eyes, I feel their heart, and my eyes well up with tears a lot. And you know, people may think that's, oh, inappropriate or whatever, but that's the movement of life through me, and I don't want to stop that, you know?
Yes, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. We want to take a quick break, and maybe we can take a couple of minutes before we release the show. You talk about vertical and horizontal living. I think that's important for us to get, and I wanted to talk about that before we release you, because I have to bring an end to this, because I'll keep talking to you.
I'm having fun too.
If there's anything I'm addicted to, conversation and spirituality and transforming you, I can go on all day. If you're just joining us, my guest is Sherry Richards. Her website address is Dancing with Your Dragon. The art, and we're talking about the art of loving your unlovable self. And when you learn to love your unlovable self, guess what? You are free, and you are not looking for permission from other people. You're not looking for the world to free you. You're not looking for your government, your religion, your spirituality. You're not looking for anything to set you free, because you say, permission to do what I want to do. And when I say that, people freak out sometimes. What do you mean? If anybody's doing what they want to do, wouldn't there be chaos? No. Because when people learn to love themselves, they're thinking of the good of all.
Yeah.
So it's not complicated, but once you take the journey, you get it. We're taking your calls, 347-426-3346. And listeners, we've got a special offer for you. If you want to pick up a copy of Sherry's book, Dancing with Your Dragon, the art of Loving Your Unlovable Self, if you go to her site, the product page, and pick up a copy of her book. And she got some audio files there too, meditation that will support you in the process, a guided meditation for meeting your inner child, because that's where everything lies. That's the inner child saying, I'm afraid, I'm scared, I can't come out, there's a monster here. You can't drag this child out, because every time you drag it, she's going to run back in. Every time you drag him, he's going to resist, like, no, I don't want to come out. But Sherry has some audio files on there, a spiritual practice for connecting with your higher self. And then there's another one called it's a meditation, and embark on an enchanting journey. Now, if you get the book and you click add the audio files meditation to your cart, and put, there's a coupon box. If you put, I told you, never go a day without life goal to a day, because you never know what you're going to get for your day. Oh, stop it. Anyway, so if you put Ada in the coupon box, you will get all the audio files, the meditation, all of those free, and you just pay for the book. So that's dancingwithyourdragon.com, and just click the products and services tab, and that will take you there, and you get all the audio for free, and just you have to pay just for the book. So, you know, it's important to stay tuned. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back and then get ready to release the show. We want to talk about vertical living and horizontal living. What does it mean? I mean, I don't know. Y'all get too technical for me. No, it's actually quite simple. Stay tuned. You're listening to Life Conversations with, well, you're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. And life is good. It's getting better. Trust the process and know that all is truly well. And how do you do that? You simply be the change you want to see. What do you want in your life? Be the change you want to see. That's part of the healing.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially.
The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Mom?
Dad, it's me.
We need to talk about sex.
I know you don't want to.
You think I'm too young.
You're afraid if we talk about sex, I'll no longer be your little muffin head.
You're Pookie Bear.
You're Lammy Lumpkin.
You're Bubby Chubbs.
But come on, talk to me about sex. Tell me you want me to wait. Sure, it'll change our relationship.
It'll make us closer.
I know you want me to wait to have sex. So don't wait to tell me. Talk to me.
Tell me to wait.
And guess what? If you go to 4parents.gov, you can get help on how to talk with me about sex.
Look, this is important. Come on, Dad.
Let's do this, Mom. Talk to me about sex.
Tell me to wait.
And don't worry. I'll always be your little muffin head. Your ginger snap. Your pumpkin face.
Your butterbean.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Yes, indeed. It is time to set yourself free. Embrace the love that you are. Unconditional love is simply that, love without conditions. There's nothing you can do to stop the love that you are from loving you, other than you thinking you are not lovable. And when you think you're not lovable, you experience life as not lovable. But when you think that you are lovable and accept and give yourself permission, life becomes so delicious. So even while you're mad and angry, you start watching yourself. Wow, look at me. Well, I'm really creating some drama here. You can shift your perspective. We're getting ready to release the show. But before we do that, we want to talk about vertical and horizontal living. That's important to know before we end this conversation. Sharon, tell us more about that.
Well, horizontal living is when you spend your life looking out horizontally. Mm-hmm. So you're looking out to other people to get love, to get support, to get your needs met, to feel lovable, to feel good about yourself, just out there. And that is a terrible, terrible trap, because what tends to happen is we tend to choose the people who reflect the ones that didn't love us somehow when we were young, or who we think have the key to our success, or who we think, if that person would only love me, then I must be worthwhile. And so all of a sudden you've given all of your power to something outside yourself to tell you whether you're good or not, whether you're lovable or not, whether you're going to make it or not, whether you are somebody, all of those kinds of things. So I call that horizontal living. Plus you become dependent. So even if you're married and you have a partner, or you're in a relationship, whatever it is, and it's a relatively good relationship, and maybe this person does feed you. My husband tells me I'm beautiful all the time, and I love hearing that. I totally love it. But before I met my husband, I had to go through learning to love myself and not needing that. And then the paradox of it is, he came into my life, and he gives me that, but I don't need it from him. I like it, but I'm not dependent on it. So horizontal is depending on the outside. Vertical is switching so that we're looking to the above and to the earth, and we're creating an alignment of energy that goes up and down. And so when that little child inside feels, oh, I'm not very lovable right now, I'm feeling bad about myself, whatever, we can either get quiet and open to the divine, and the divine just drops down inside and embraces that little child, or we can use our own heart and just go down and say, oh, I love you, and you're beautiful, and you're doing everything that you need to do right now, and you just take it one day at a time, and it's all good, and let's go and sit outside and look at the sky for a little bit. Whatever it is that we do to be self-supportive. Because when you get needy to the outside and dependent on the outside, you set up a struggle, and people tend to run away, or else they become a rescuer to you, and then they always put you in this little victim-y place where they, you have to be that in order for them to give you love. And if your powerful self comes up, they're like, whoa, What's that? They don't know how to be with the powerful self.
Mm-hmm.
So when you can integrate and live vertically, where you're connecting with the divine, you're receiving your guidance moment to moment, you're noticing through your emotional alarm clock if there's something going on down there in the emotional body, paying attention to your little child, this is creating an integration, an empowerment, almost a vessel that can then be filled with energy that you hold inside yourself, and you vibrate, and you become an individual, a person who is full of love. And as an individual, then you begin to move and dance and relate to other people, and it removes the drama from your life.
Mm-hmm. Remove the drama and stop creating more of it. This thing called life is not for wimps, you know.
No, dragon dancing is not for wimps, but it sure is fun.
And it doesn't matter if you don't have the right steps. Just keep doing it till you get it right.
And there are no right steps. It's just doing it, just feeling it, just allowing it, just being present to it, just taking it in and. You know, learning not to listen to that critical voice inside that just makes it so hard for everybody.
Right, right. And, you know, if I was to put everything you're talking, what we've talked about today, is really the art of loving your lovable self is to feed the part of you that sets you free, the part of you that is love, that is free, that is joy, that inner child. You know, when we were children, we liked to play. We weren't thinking about, I wonder if I'm going to eat today. I wonder if my toys are going to be, I wonder if someone's going to steal my toys tomorrow. You know, kids were just in the moment. So the more we feed ourselves through the spiritual practice, you know, because it's really that. People say, well, I've got my spiritual practice. It's spiritual practice. It means you keep doing it. It's not spiritual perfection. It's spiritual practice.
I love that.
You keep practicing.
Yes, you do.
And
you
keep
practice it.
Yes.
Like you do with dance.
Like this. Go ahead.
Well, you practice like you do a dance or any kind of, you know, musical instrument. We practice and we practice and we practice. Yeah, it's a spirit.
Exactly.
We're on the same page, certainly are.
And I love that analogy because even people, singers who are famous, they still practice. They still do rehearsal. They don't say, well, I've been doing it for 20 years. I don't need to practice. Oh, constant. You keep practicing and something else will show up. And, you know, if you want to develop your body, you go to the gym. You keep pushing. You keep lifting. And everything that happens brings up to that place. But, you know, Sherry, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your gift of love, for your wisdom, your experience. Just be saying yes to life and willing to be an example for other people's transformation. I am really, really grateful for you. Before we release you, is there anything else you want to share with the listeners? Anything you want to say? Anything you want to say to them? I always, when I ask them to get something, when I say that, I hear this little voice in my head saying, boy, can you imagine they say something you totally disagree with? I didn't say anything, but no, that was just my inner judge trying to guard me and protect me.
I can't imagine saying anything. I can't imagine saying anything that you would disagree with. I feel very much synchronistically, entwined with you and what you're presenting.
And we've got to bring you back too. So just know you're coming back.
Oh, I would love to come.
I want to let you know you're coming back.
Yeah, my absolute pleasure. And I just want to say, you know, just open yourself up and receive the love that's there. And sometimes when it comes in, sometimes when I was first letting it in, you know, tears and tears and tears would come because some part of me felt like, oh, I'm not worthy of this, I'm not worthy of this, but we're all worthy of it. You are worthy of it. And it's there. It's just waiting. The divine love is just waiting for you to open yourselves and let it in. And so receive it. And energy is a symbol for life force, and life force is a symbol for money, and, you know, it's all one kind of thing. So the more you can just open up and breathe it in and allow it and receive it, the more you'll dance with it, and the joy will begin to happen. And if joy is not happening and something else is happening, let that happen. If anger is happening, let that happen. You know, just allow it, receive it, and then let it. But the key is, let it happen in the moment and then let it go. Feel it and then let it go.
I love that when you talk about the tears, because that's triggered so much more. There are people who say, I can't remember the last time I cried. I'm like, huh? What? Get away from me. That's like saying, I can't remember the last time I took a shower. Your soul needs to be cleansed. So please, you better start crying.
Yeah, and you know, I learned something very interesting. We don't want to keep going on our conversation, but I learned that, I think on NPR, that tears actually carry something that kills bacteria. And so it's like a healing on a physical level. I mean, I know it's healing for the soul, but it actually has physical healing properties as well. Crying is good for you.
Yes, it is. It is. And don't let nobody tell you anything. Say, if anybody tells you, when you're crying, go up, punch them in the face. And then they start crying. And then you ask them, why are you crying? Did it hurt? Now you know what it's like to cry. You know, push them physically. What if you? Okay, stop it. Just leave that alone. Just leave it alone. Because I can go so many places with that, but I won't. My mind.
Well, my pleasure to be with you and with that beautiful Celeste. She's just an angel. I love her.
Yes, indeed.
I'm grateful for connecting us.
She has some comments in the chat room for you, Sherry. She's saying, we have a hole in the daycare, and we are the teachers. As the higher being, honor and love each little one, but help guide them in the way of the light. And then we have Tracy. She said, wonderful program and very insightful. I have learned a lot today. Thank you, Ade, Sherry. Utilizing these practices of loving my unlovable self no doubt would help me on my journey. Very grateful.
Wonderful. Well,
yes, thank you, Sherry.
I treasure the experience, and thank you, Ade, and I look forward to joining you once again. Just let me know.
Oh, yeah, you'll be back. Yes, indeed. Thank you. Thank you for saying yes.
Yeah, absolutely. You have a beautiful day.
Thank you. Thank you. Those of you who are just joining us, as I said earlier, you can go to Sherry's website, pick up her book. And when you go to the product and services page, click the book, get your copy. And while you're at it, click the MP3 files, the three of them. You know, just take the three of them. Well, I don't know if my budget will allow it. No. Just click it. And then, just put in that when you get to the other page, once you add all of it into the cart, you get to the other page, there's a coupon box. Put my name, Ade, A-D-E. And then you'll get all the MP3 files for free. And then all you have to pay is the book. Now, give yourself permission to set yourself free. You are listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. I am so grateful. I am so full. I'm so joyful. Let's play a music. Let's play a song. You know, life can be messy, but we're not afraid to embrace it. When you embrace the mess of your life, and you hear me say this all the time, when you embrace the mess in your life, you get the message. And when you get the message, you become the messenger. So if you're experiencing a mess in your life right now, be grateful that you're getting ready to teach yourself and others something amazing. Here is our, let's do Charles Holt. What is tapping inside of you? Something is calling you. Something is saying it's time to sing your song. And I'll be back to wrap up the show. Wait a minute, did I just say wrap up the show? No, we don't wrap up the show. We release the show because there's nothing to wrap up. We need to just release it into the ethers. This is Charles Holt, and he's telling us, he's reminding us that something is tapping inside of us. Are you listening? Are you paying attention? Are you living life fully? Are you living your passion? Are you living your purpose? Are you happy with who you are? After today's show, you have all the tools that you need. Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. I'll be right back after this song.
You are tapping on my head. Is there something that I didn't do right? Something that I need to know? Something that I need to write? You are tapping in the nighttime. You're tapping all day long. Maybe you just won't hear What is the plan? Tell me how to heal my mind. Tell me how to walk this land. You are tapping in the nighttime. You're tapping all day long. Maybe I am the song of freedom. Am I the voice of so many men and women and children who love one another? Men and women and children who sing for the river's men. Women and children who sing for the mountains. Men, women and children who sing for the hungry men, women and children who sing for the dying men, women and children who care for all people, men, women and children.
Tapping. What's tapping on the inside? What is calling you? What is calling you to show up so that God can show out?
You want me to heal, 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 heal again. Maybe you just want to hear the sweet song, yeah. Do you want me to fly again? Maybe you just want to hear the sweet song. Do you want me to give again? Forgive again. Give again. Give again. Oh, I feel you tapping.
Can you feel the tap? Tap, tap, tap. Wake up. Wake up.
Maybe
wake up. The time is now. The time is now.
For me to live. Again.
Yes, indeed, Charles Holt. His website is Charles Holt, H-O-L-T, productions.com, charlesholtproductions.com to find out more about him. You want to live again? How do you do it? You learn, you continue to love your unlovable self. That is real. When you do that, that's when you're really born again, because you're loving yourself in a different way. You're living vertical living rather than from the outside in. That's the time when you return to God. Return, repent, same thing. Return, repent means to turn around, to turn from looking outside of yourself. When they say repent, return, you've been looking outside of yourself. It's time to turn back to God within, God as you. And in that place, you get to experience a love beyond words. You become the light on the path that may look dark sometimes. You become the inspirational medicine for folks. You become the healing that is needed when people are debating about health care and a woman's right and all the other rights and the human right and all the thing that, you know, we're debating this right that we don't even need to debate. It's just common sense. You know, it could be at home, it could be a family member, things that we debate. But when you learn to love your unlovable self, you tap into compassion because you understand that each and every one of us are on this planet. We're all dealing with this thing called life, and it can be challenging. You are the one. You have been called to show up. You are the chosen one. You are the one. You are the Christed one. You are the divine one. When you say yes to your life, it's time to release the show. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Join us tomorrow as we celebrate the woman. This is our March, is Women's History Month. We have Jenny Cressman. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Cressman. There you go. She's going to join us tomorrow. She's calling. She's coming, joining us from Canada. So there's lots going on. But I just want to leave you with this. What is something inside of you that you want to give birth to? What are you feeling? What dream do you have? What dreams do you have? What idea do you want to birth? Today is the day to let it happen. Take a step towards that direction and start by loving yourself. And when you start loving yourself now, everything that happened to you in the past will become tools and resources to make your dream a reality. I love you. I bless you, I appreciate you, and I thank God for you. I'll see you tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern. All the shows are archived, so you can download the show, you can listen again, even if you missed part of the show. And make sure you go to lifeconversationsmedia.com, lifeconversationsmedia.com. You can find out about upcoming guests, which is what I'm looking at right now. We have a lot going on. We're going to be talking about raw foods on Monday. We have Carmen Hara joining us, talking about the change that's going on in the world, that's going on within us, how to prepare for it. We have the Everyday Enlightenment with Jill LeBeau and Rebecca Grado. We have Jonah Holland joining us. You know, just check out the website, leave a comment, leave a testimony. Just, you know, share your experience with us. It's time to release the show, and we're going to, of course, you're not going to release the show. I love music. I love songs. Songs you can chew on, that you can digest, that speaks to your soul. I don't know what it is yet, but we'll find out. Yes, as I get ready to release the show, I want to remind you. Actually, I want to challenge you.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
We dare you to live your best life, and it's really simple. All you've got to do is remember who you are. Carly Jackson, remind them.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed. I am love. I am great. I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
Yes, indeed, you're wonderful, you're whole, you're free. You are the delight of God. This is Julie Dexter reminding us all about choices. What choice are you making in your life today? Choose to live life fully. Choose to say yes. Choose to be whole. choose to be free. JulieDexter.com is our website. I'm out of here. Peace and blessings. I'll see you tomorrow.
Giving a voice back to the community, 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 to the community.